Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Beya Lamed Vav. We begin right on top of the Amid. The Mishnah taught us, Mashilin Peiros Derech Aruba B'yamtiv, which means you can drop down your supply of grain, for instance, sitting on your rooftop, and you're expecting rain to arrive. To avoid spoilage, to avoid losing that crop, you can actually drop down the Peiros Derech Aruba through an opening, a skylight in that roof, to get it out of harm's way. So you can do this on Yom Tov, and actually we find a very similar halacha in Maseches Shabbos. So you're expecting some guests, or you're expecting people to come learn. You need space for them, says the Mishnah. You can clear out the storage room. Mefanen arba v'chamish kupei shel tevin, boxes of hay, of tevuah, to make room for the arrivals. Now, we do find some limitations imposed in our halacha, in the case of Mashilin Peiros on Yom Tov, and we do find some restrictions regarding clearing the room in Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara now will explore, will seek to compare, and see whether the halacha is pertaining to Yom Tov will apply to Shabbos, and vice versa as well, the limitations imposed on Shabbos will apply to Yom Tov. So let's start on top of the Amud. Hasam Tanan. In Maseches Shabbos we learn, you can clear out that room, avaloyes ha'oitzer, but not the storage room. What does that mean? Va'omar Shmuel explains, my avaloyes ha'oitzer. What does that mean? Avaloyigmar ha'oitzer kulay. You can clear out the tvua in anticipation of the students coming to learn, the Aruchim, but don't clear out the entire storage room, because by doing that you're going to expose the floor, and Dilma Asi Lashvuya Gumois. Then he might actually notice a pit, a guma, and flatten out his floor, which is a malacha. So clear out as needed, but not the entire area, so that you don't see a straight clear floor, which might prompt him to come repair that floor. So that's a restriction imposed by Shabbos. Now the question follows, Hachamai, what about here on Yom Tov, when you're clearing the roof of Peiros in anticipation of the oncoming rainstorm? How much can you do? Can you clear the entire roof, even though you might expose the roof? Apparently we're speaking about an earth roof. So there's a chashash of Ashvuyu Gumois or not. Hachamai. What is the halacha regarding Yom Tov? Ha'asim hu, b'Shabbos da'asim r'shim d'chomer. Shall we say perhaps this restriction is limited to Shabbos, because Shabbos is certainly more severe than Yom Tov. If one is over an halacha on Shabbos, he gets skila kares, which is definitely more chomer than Yom Tov, which only involves a lav. Perhaps only on Shabbos will machmer to prevent this type of situation. Al v'Yom Tov dekila shaper dami, as opposed to Yom Tov, which is relatively light, we're not so machmer, and therefore clear out the entire area, even though you're going to expose the open floor. Oy dilma, or perhaps ha some deikabito beisamedrash amras loy. If over there on Shabbos, where the point is to enable learning, to avoid bittul Torah, you say no, you're limited to a certain amount. You can't clear the entire area. So despite the fact that there's bittul Torah involved, we limit you. Ha chadalek bittul beisamedrash like kolshkin. Certainly over here on Yom Tov, where you're just trying to salvage your Peiros, there's no question of bittul Torah. Certainly, we don't allow you to do too much. That's one shaila. Clear the entire area. Is a mutar asr? We figured perhaps we'll compare it to Shabbos. We're not sure if the comparison holds water. Next, v'chatznan. Over here on Yom Tov we learn, ma'ashilin Peiros de'ech aruba b'Yom Tov. You can drop the Peiros through this opening in the roof on Yom Tov. V'omar Rav Nachman explains, Lo'yishanu ala ba'yisei agag. This only applies within that roof. Aval megag legag lo'yivud, if involves taking it to a next door roof, that's too much of a tircha, we don't allow you. So if the aruba is found next door, you can't do this. Yitani nami hachi, find likewise in the b'risa. Ein metaltel megag legag. you cannot transport the peiros in anticipation of the oncoming rainstorm if it's migag legag, too much of a tircha. Afilu kishegagoy sein shavin, even though both rooftops are on the same level. So it doesn't involve climbing up or down. You're limited to that roof and that's it. So that's regarding Yom Tov. The question is Hasamai regarding Shabbos. Does this halacha apply as well? Suppose he's expecting guests, expecting Talmidim to come learn. We allow him to clear the area, but is it just to clear it out, or can he actually go and take the stuff to the next door, which is more of a tircha? What do you think? Says the Gemara, perhaps maybe it's only a chumrah on Yom Tov because Yom Tov seems lighter in people's minds. If we allow too much, it's going to lead to zilzul. People negate and degrade Yom Tov, take it lightly. So we limit your activities. Perhaps Shabbos, which is very prominent in people's mind, and people will not come to be mezalzel. Perhaps we allow more leeway there. We allow you to transport the tefuah to next door as well, which is a more extensive delivery activity. So perhaps that's okay. Or dilma, or maybe no. Certainly not. Ma hocha de ikhev said peris amrus loy. If on Yom Tov, where it entails loss of property, the peiros will get ruined when that rain arrives. Still, we say, no. If you can lower it through that roof, okay, but otherwise leave it alone. Hosam the leke hefsed peiros lekoshkin. Certainly over there on Shabbos, where it doesn't entail any hefsed, there's not going to be any monetary loss. Of course, we don't allow this leeway. We limit you to that area, and you can't deliver it next door. So, that was the next shaila regarding bringing it next door. In Yom Tov, you certainly can. The question is, do we apply that to Shabbos as well? Third question. Hachatanya. Here we learn, meaning when it comes to salvaging the peiros from the rain, we learn, lo yishal shalem b'cheva b'chaloinus. Although we allow you to drop it through the aruba, it's because it's an easy job. You just throw it down. But if it means picking up the peiros, putting it through a window, and then lowering it down with a cheva, with a rope, that's too much of a tirch. That's too extensive of a job. We don't allow that on Yom Tov. Likewise, v'loya ridim derech sulamis. You can't travel down. You can't carry it down steps or ladders. So that's regarding Yom Tov. Question is hasamai. What about on Shabbos, when you're clearing the area in anticipation of Urchim, in anticipation of limud haTorah? Hacha b'Yom Tov v'da'asur the lekeh b'tol beis hamedrash. Perhaps this limitation applies only here on Yom Tov. It doesn't involve b'tol Torah. Aval Shabbos di'iku b'tol beis hamedrash. Shaper dummy, as opposed to Shabbos, where it involves bitul Torah, perhaps we're more easygoing. Or perhaps you can say, if we find that here on Yom Tov, despite the fact that it involves loss of property, we say no, you're limited. You can't do more than allowed. Certainly on Shabbos, there's no rain, there's no loss of property. Of course, this limitation applies. Take you, we leave it unresolved. So in summation, over here on Yom Tov we learn that you have to keep it within the roof. On Yom Tov we learn that you can only toss it down. If it's level, you can't lift it or carry it down. Does that apply to Shabbos as well? We're not sure. By Shabbos we learn you can clear out the entire area because you might notice an uneven floor. Question is, does it apply to Yom Tov as well? Or maybe not. And we leave it unresolved. You can actually cover peiros sitting on your rooftop to protect from the oncoming rain. You can even cover a stack of bricks prepared for construction. They're just loose bricks, uncemented, but they're stacked up evenly, neatly, in anticipation of binyan. They're mukta, you can cover them as well, despite the fact that they're mukta. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, no. Peiros or uyin. You can only cover peiros because they're royal achila, they're not muksa. But to cover a muksa item and protect it from the rain, that's asur. V'azdor Rabbi Yitzchak Tamei. Rabbi Yitzchak follows his own opinion, stated elsewhere. Amar Yitzchak, ein klinital One can only pick up a kli to aid and abet something else which is not muktzah. But if you're trying to protect a muktzah item, that muktzah status extends to this as well. You can't pick up something to help something which is muktzah. And in this case, if you're covering pirus, okay, but if you're covering bricks, which are muktzah, that's us. Says Rashi, 16 lines from the top. V'afilu avira delivni. This was Ula speaking. Levenim asturim umuktzim abinyan. You have some bricks stored for binyan. Ukshamim noitvim. You have some rain dripping on them. Umisyari shaloyi moichu. He's afraid of damaging them, of dissolving them. Mutal atatal kel mutzarchan ulachal soysan. You can bring kelim and cover these bricks. We don't say hoyel vein atzman ein etol, just because you can't carry them, hafa kli lo yinotel tzarchan, can't carry something to help them. You don't say that. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, he says, yeah, dafka peres or uin letiltel, hu deshar rabban letaltel, kelim tzarchan. The Mishnah says you can cover kelim, you cover peres because they're not muktzah. Aval midel labar tiltel, but something which is muktzah, something which you can't carry on its own, ein kli nita letzarchi. Likewise, you can't carry something else to help to assist that item. You can only pick up a kli ledavar hanitel. He holds that the mukta extends all the way to here as well. Says the Gemara. Tanan, take a look at the Mishnah, which says mechasenas apiris bekelim. You can cover a pri with a kli. Let's make a deal. Peris in, apparently only because it's peris and not mukta. Avira de livni loy. But levenim, which are just lined up, avir has just some airspace between. It's loose. Loose bricks, but intended for construction. Mukta items, law, you can't be metatal something to protect them. Just as you can't handle mukta, you can't handle something for the sake of mukta. That's right, to Rabbi Yitzchak and Akasha and Ula. Says it more, not necessarily. Hu adin afilu aviru delivni. Perhaps you can cover even bricks, which are mukta. The reason why the Mishnah spoke about Peris was on account of the first halacha of the Mishnah, which mentioned Peris. So the Mishnah just kept with fruit, kept with peris. V'aydi d'tana reisha mashilon peris. And since the Mishnah in the reisha mentioned peris, when he's picking up the peris and tossing it down the arupa, that only works by peris, which aren't muktzah. So because of that, tana seifa nami mechasen sa peris. The Mishnah continued the same scenario. You're covering the peris to protect them from the rain. But technically, you can cover anything, even if it's muktzah. Tanan, the Mishnah continues further. You can cover barrels, pitchers of wine, pitchers of oil from the oncoming rain. Now, why did the Mishnah pick this example? Apparently because we're trying to stress. You can only cover a non-mukta item like barrels of wine and oil. We're speaking about tevel, which is actually a mukta. And that's exactly the chiddush of the Mishnah. Not only can you cover peris, which are not muktzah, go ahead and cover kadayayin kadishemen, which happen to be tevel, which happen to be muktzah. Hachinam mistavra. I'll even prove to you that the Mishnah had this in mind, wine and oil, which are tevel. If the Mishnah is speaking about wine and oil, which are not tevel, why discuss it? Why add it to the Mishnah? What's the chiddush? Hatana le resha peris. We already mentioned covering produce. Why give us another example of the same halacha? Peris cover, can cover wine. What's the point? Oh, apparently there is a chiddush because it's tevel. And that was the point of the Mishnah. Not only can you cover peris, which are non-muktzah item, cover even tevel, which is muktzah. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. I'll tell you why the Mishnah mentioned wine and oil, even though they're not tevel. There was an added chiddush. Perhaps I would think. We allow you to cover peiros, which can mean fruit, which can mean grain, in anticipation of the oncoming rainstorm, which might ruin them and spoil them if they get wet. And that will result in a hefsed merubah, a large scale loss of property. Perhaps that's mutter, to go toil, exert effort to protect them. But lehafsad mut lechashu, but just to cover your barrels, which won't really get extensively damaged by some dripping rain, perhaps that doesn't allow for coverage. Kamash malon. Here's the chiddush. Yes, you can do it. So perhaps both cases involve items which are non-mukta. There's a chiddush in each one. So you have no raya from the Mishnah to our discussion. Tanan, continues the Mishnah, noisten kli tachas adalaf b'shabbos. You can bring a kli to collect the drip coming from the ceiling. We're assuming the drip is not roi la'achila. It's mo'os. It's mukta. And you're handling a kli to collect it. It's a right to ula, who allows handling things even for the sake of something mukta. B'delaf haroi. The drip is roi l'shtia, perfectly drinkable, as she says, at least for the behemah. It's a non-mukta drip, and therefore you can handle something to collect it. Toshma, listen to this right. Person machtzelas al gabi levenim, b'shabbos. You can spread a mat over bricks on Shabbos. What do you mean? It's mukta. How can you handle something for the sake of mukta? Answers the Gemara, the yater mebinyana. These bricks were leftover construction material, no longer designated for binyan, non-mukta items. The chazru lemizgalayu, they're suitable for sitting and leaning on, in which case they're a kli, they're not mukta. That explains why you can handle something to protect them. Toshma, listen to this right. Person machtzelas agabe avanu b'shabbos. You can spread a mat over rocks, stones, intended for construction to avoid ruining them, getting them wet. They're mukta material. Answers the Gemara, b'avanu mekurzolis. We're speaking about smooth cornered rocks, the chazu and the beis hakisei, which are suitable for wiping in the beis hakisei, and they're not mukta. Toshma, listen to this right. Person machtzelas al gabi kaveres dvarim b'shabbos. One is allowed to take a machtzelas, a mat, and spread it over a beehive. What for? Bechama pneachama, in the sun, in the summer, protect from the sun. Ubik shamim pneach shamim, in the rain season, to protect from rain. Ubelvad shloiz gavin lotzit, as long as he's not going to trap those bees inside. So to protect them on Shabbos, yes. But trapping, no. Well, bees are mukta. How are you handling a machtzelas to protect bees? Hosanami dikat vash. We're speaking that there is honey inside the beehive. So you're protecting the honey, which isn't mukta. Amalei Rav Ukvim Meishan. He asked the kasha l'ravashi. Hotenach moisachama. That explains summertime dikat vash, where the beehive is saturated with honey. B'yimoisak shomim meikel emema. What about during winter time, where there's no honey? How does the b'raisa allow taking a machtzelas and covering the beehive at that point, which is basically going to protect the bees, which are mukta? There's no honey during winter time. There is. Although naturally the bees don't produce honey during winter, but the beehive attendant will leave two chalis, two honeycombs filled with honey, to provide ongoing sustenance for the bees during wintertime. And when he covers the beehive during wintertime, he's covering those two chalets, which aren't mukta. What do you mean? Oysen shtei chalets mukta sein. Certainly they're mukta, although they're edible, but why are they there? He placed them there to supply his bees with wintertime sustenance. They're designated for that purpose. It's not meant for his consumption. They're mukta. So what'd you gain? He's still covering mukta. Hachab, my eskin, you know what we're speaking about? Shechi shevalein. He reserved them for personal use. And they're no longer mukt. Well, says the Gemara, if that's the case, avaloi chi shevalein my osur, so you mean to say, if he had not reserved them, they're mukta, and you can't take a mat and cover the beehive, because everything in there is mukta, if that's the case, let's think. Adetoni. Well, if the Bryce is looking for a case where it's osur to cover, where does the b'raisa go? B'raisa goes and finds another concern of trapping, right? The b'raisa says, "Ubelvad liskaven lotzit." So if the b'raisa is looking for a reason for iser, why look for a new iser? The b'raisa says, "You can't cover if you're trying to trap." Lifleg, but listen to the da. we could have simply differentiated within our case itself. Within Muktzah, we could have found a case where it's Asr. And the Baisa could have said, look, typically cover. Cover the beehive, because there's honey. Whether during summertime, there's an abundance of honey, or during wintertime, you have those two honeycombs sitting there, which he reserved for personal use. That's only because he reserved them, and they're not Muktzah. He can cover a non-Muktzah item on Shabbos. But otherwise, if he had not reserved them for personal use, they're meant for those bees. They're Muktzah, and you can't cover the beehive because you're, in fact, you're helping, you're assisting, you're covering, you're protecting Muktzah. Why didn't the Braisa cite this as an example of Issa rather than jump over to Seda? Harik Amar. Actually, the Braisa was trying to add a chiddush here. You can cover the beehive if you have honey during summertime or even during wintertime, those two chalis reserved for personal use. But even then, says the Braisa, there is room for concern if you're not careful. The Braisa means like this. Even in the case where he has two chalis reserved for personal use, non-muktzah, it can be asr. It's only mutter provided that he's not going to trap those bees. So this Braisa is following Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that something unprepared is muktzah. The only reason you can cover the beehive is if there is honey reserved for personal use. B'mayu kimtuk Rabbi Yehuda. So who's speaking in this Braisa? Whose opinion is reflected in this Braisa? We have Rabbi Yehuda who says something unprepared is muktzah. We have Rabbi Shimon who says preparedness is not a necessary component. As long as it's edible, it's useful, it's not muktzah. Who's speaking in this Braisa? It's pretty clear, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, right? Dislay muktzah. He applies muktzah in this case, in a case where something is unprepared. And the only reason you can cover the beehive is because you have honey prepared for personal use. Okay, aim a sefer, let's proceed. Cover the beehive as long as you don't intend on trapping the bees. It seems like he's really trapping them, but as long as that's not his plan, it's not his intention, it's mutter. And who's speaking there? Who she does that? That dover she'inim is kaven is mutter. When you do malacha with that intention, don't worry about it. Who subscribes to that shita? Ason Reb Shimon. That's Reb Shimon speaking. The Amar Dova Shein Miskav Muta. A person does something which results in a secondary result which is not part of the initial plan. That's Muta. Well, according to Reb Yehuda, it's not so. So according to Reb Yehuda, who seems to be the man, the Amar of this Braisa, how can he go ahead and trap the bees despite his lack of intention? Dova Shein Miskav is Asur. 1 second, says the Gemara. You know what? Even according to Reb Shimon, it wouldn't really work. If it is for the Reb Shimon, do you mean to say that according to Reb Shimon, it's going to work? Here, the result is inevitable. It's called psik resha. And even according to Reb Shimon, it would be awesome. They both tell us. Why did Reb Shimon be psik resha? Reb Shimon agrees in a case where it's inevitable. The mashal is, he removes the head of the chicken and expects it to live. Psik resha? I don't want it to die. You know, Shimon agrees, can't play games. If he's trapping the bees, it's a malach of tzeda. Notwithstanding his lack of intention, doesn't matter. Despite the fact that he doesn't want it to happen. It's a psikration. So the truth is, we're in trouble according to either shita. Even according to Shimon, this doesn't work. Answers the Gemara. Oh, so let's rework the situation, the scenario. Let's rework the case here. You know what? This Braisa entirely is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. The first part of Braisa. They must make sure the honey was prepared for personal use to avoid muktzah. That's Rabbi Yehuda. What about the issue of trapping? You know what we're speaking about? The beehive has some windows through which the bees can exit. So therefore, he's not even trapping at all. V'loy tema l'Rabbi Yehuda. Now, being that the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, you have to say like this. V'loy tema l'Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, don't say, u'bavashle yisgavam otzot. That really, he's trapping the bees. The reason why it's not a concern is because he doesn't care about trapping them. That wouldn't help us, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ella, rather, Ema says as follows. Ubavad shelo yasenu mitzvah. Oh, the Braisa meant that he can cover, he can protect the beehive, provided he's careful not to turn into a trap. Just to leave some leeway for those bees to get out. Okay? So the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. He can cover the beehive when there's honey, which is not muktzah, whether throughout the summer, where it's intended for personal use, whether throughout the winter, when those two chalas were reserved for achilas adam, in which case they're not muktzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. What about the issue of trapping? Be careful not to trap them. Be careful to leave some space for them to leave. Pshita, of course. Otherwise it's trapping. What's the chiddush of the braisa? The chiddush is ma'od atema. Perhaps I would think there's no issue of trapping by bees. You know why? The concept of tzeda, of trapping, the malacha, only applies to a type of creature, to a species which is generally trapped. So you've accomplished something by trapping it. It's a malacha. But bees? Who traps bees? Shaloi b'mino yinitzed muta. But tzeda wouldn't apply to something which is generally not a trapped item. The chiddush is no. But even something which isn't b'mino yinitzed, something which whose species isn't necessarily a candidate for hunting, for trapping, such as bees, would be mutter. No, the chiddush is even there it's us. Says Rashi on the top line. As opposed to a bee, aval high, the ain't b'mina nitzah. Shari, k'mashmon, the chiddush is no. Say that applies even in this case. So bottom line, the braisa perhaps is Rabbi Yehuda. You need to prepare those chalis for personal use in order to avoid muktzah. And that's why you're allowed to cover the beehive. Right? We're going perhaps with the shita that you can only handle a kli for the sake of something non-muktzah. Why is the beehive not muktzah? Because of the honey inside, which was prepared for personal use. What about trapping? Don't trap. Rav Ashi Amar, he says like this. The reason why you're covering the beehive is because it's not muktzah. Okay. So what was your question? Bees are muktzah. No, you have honey. Well, honey, during summertime. What about during wintertime? And the Braisa clearly allows, even during wintertime. Says Rav Ashi. No, let's reinterpret those words. Since when did the Braisa say summertime and wintertime? I didn't say that. All the Braisa said was cover the beehive, bachama, when it's in the sun, protected from the sun. Bachama, bneachama. Ubigshama, when it's raining, protected, bneachshama. That's all. That's what it said, katani. It's not referring to winter time. It's referring to spring and fall, when you have some sunshine and some rain. And during spring and fall, there's an abundance of honey in the beehive. So you're okay with covering it. For instance, during Nisan time, springtime, Tishri time, fall time. So you can have both types of weathers. Some days it's sunny, some days it's raining. And certainly there's plenty of honey in there. It's not winter time. And therefore you can cover the beehive. So conclusion, we had a machlekes regarding being matatal a kli on Shabbos or Yom Tov. According to Ula, carry it for any sake, even for the sake of something which is muktzah, to cover something which is muktzah. Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, just like you can't handle muktzah, you can't handle something else to cover the muktzah, to assist the muktzah. It's considered an activity which is related to the muktzah and it's us. We have several rais which we thought were rais one way or the other. The Gemara disregarded those rais. The last one on the list was the halach of spreading the machzelos over the beehive. And then we concluded that we're speaking that there is honey in there, so it's not muktzah, and that's why he's covering the beehive. Whether it's during the winter time with the two chalais that were reserved for personal use, or throughout the rest of the year when there's plenty of honey in that beehive. Continues the Gemara. V'noisn kli tachas delf b'shabbos. Go ahead and take a kli under the dripping roof. Tana. We're going to the Brayse. Mismali kli. When that kli fills up, shayfich, take it out, spill it out, v'shoyne, and bring it back, refill it, v'ena nimna, without any hesitation. So it's not just a one-time allowance. You can repeat the process over and over throughout the day as needed. We're not concerned about extra tircha. It's a tzerech yamt. Says Zigmar, we had a story regarding Beiri Chaya, the millstone equipment, the Abaye, that belonged to Abaye Dolov. It was being dripped on. And this Beiri Chaya equipment made of plaster was slowly getting dissolved and damaged. And this was on Yom Tov. Also, the Kamed the Rabbi, he came to his Rebbe, Rabbi Amalei. So Rabbi tells him, let me give you advice. How to salvage your millstone. Zil Aile Lepurech. Go bring your bed, take your bed into that room with the millstone. In which case the damaged rechayim will look repulsive in your eyes. Will have the same halacha as a graf, as a container, shel rei of human waste, which chacham allow you to remove on account of mius. Now you're allowed to move around the rechayim, get it out of harm's way. You can employ this trick, so to speak, to save your damaged rechayim. Now Abaye hesitated. Yosef Abaye b'kol kashile. So he's sitting and thinking and is asking, questioning his Rebbe's opinion. Since when could you orchestrate a dover mo'os in your home to allow removal? If a person has a grav shirei, you understand, it's mutter. But how could you be goyrim that something should become mos in order to enable removing it? Okay, so you're sitting and deliberating. Adahachi, as he was doing that, nafal berechaya da Abaye. Abaye's equipment disintegrated, fell apart, totally destroyed. Amar Abaye remarked, tasily, I am deserving of this punishment. Da avri adamar, I transgressed the master. I didn't accept this halacha at face value. I was challenging it. And this is my einish. Asks Tosfos. Indeed. What was the basis of Rabbi's heter? How can you make a graf sherei lechatchila? We know from the Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph, you're not meant to do lechatchila. Something to bring about moving mukts. Tosfos gives two terutzim. Either there was hefsed. There was a loss of property, and because of that, the Chachamim applied this kula. Or he says, it's not called the Chathchila. It was already midway, the damage was already happening. It wasn't like he was trying to orchestrate this. It was already mid-experience. And therefore, it doesn't go into the halacha of Ein Oisin Grav Sherei Lechathchila. If you can avoid it, fine, but it's already happening. The thing was being damaged, and we can employ this ploy, so to speak, to protect from further damage. Continues the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Grav sherei, a container of waste. V'avich mim raglayim, a container containing liquid waste. Mutar latzil la'ashpa. One can empty them out at the ashpa. Ukshemachzirei. But when you bring back the kli empty, noisin b'mayim machzirei. The only way is to fill it with a little water and bring it back on account of the water, because keep in mind, the heter is only to remove on account of kavod habriyos. But once it's outside, you shouldn't bring it back. The heter is because it has some water. On account of the water, we allow its return. Now the Bnei HaYeshiva, the Gemara figured that this allowance of removing a grav sherei is only by way of the kli. Grav sherei agav mona'in. It's only because you're carrying the kli. So you're not directly contacting the waste. But to actually directly move the mukta waste, that's awesome. Tashma, but that's not so. We have a story. Dahu achbarta. There was this mouse, this dead mouse. Dishtakach beispar mikidah Rav Ashi, which was found amongst the b'samim of Rav Ashi on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Amul Rav Ashi, Rashi turned to them, nakto betzotzisa, grab it by its tail, afku, and take it out. Apparently, the heter of Rav Sherei applies to anything which is mos, even if it necessitates direct contact. continues the Mishnah, Kol Shechayovin Olav Mishum Shvus. The Mishnah will tell us that all the halachis, all the rabbinic restrictions, the Isur de Rabban, which are generally referred to as a Shvus, which apply on Shabbos, apply on Yom Tov, which apply on Yom Tov, apply on Shabbos, with no difference. We're going to have three categories. The basic one is called Shvus, involving a non-mitzvah related activity, which is Asa de Rabban. That's called Shvus, plain Shvus. Shvus, by the way, is Meloshen Shvois, refrain, rest. Keep away from that, mice. The next category is Shvushus, and the next one is Mitzvah. Mitzvah means a full-fledged Mitzvah activity, which is still Asa de Rabbanon, because the Shvus applies there as well. Rishus means something somewhat related to Mitzvah, but isn't really a full-fledged Mitzvah, but it's still Asa de Rabbanon, for whatever reason. And we have the more basic level, which is Shvus, a non-Mitzvah-related activity, fully mundane activity, which is Asa de Rabbanon. Says Mishnah Kol Shechayavon Olav Mishnah Shvus. Any mass which a person is meant to refrain from, he's chayav to refrain from it, because it's a shvus, it's a plain issur d'rabbanan, a non-mitzvah related activity, or mishum rishus, something which is higher up the ladder, somewhat mitzvah related but still asur d'rabbanan, or mishum mitzvah, fully mitzvah related, but it's still asur d'rabbanan. So all these things which a person is chayav to refrain from b'Shabbos, likewise, chayav and olav b'yamtiv, he should avoid on yamtiv as well. Ve'eluhayim mishum shvus. The following considered shvus activities. Lo yoyal b'ilan. Don't climb a tree. Ve'lo yiroichon al gabi b'ema. Don't ride an animal. Ve'lo yishot na pnei hamayim. Don't swim. Ve'lo yimetapchen. Don't clap your hands. Ve'lo yimesapchen. Tap your thigh. Ve'lo yimeraktin. No dancing. These are non-mitzvah related activities, which are also mishum shvus. The Gemara, of course, will explain the reason for all these yisurim. Next category. We have a list of activities which are closely related to mitzvah, but still asur. Don't conduct a court case. Don't do chalitza to the wife of one's brother who died without children. Nor yibam, marry that isha. That cannot be done on Yom Tov or Shabbos. The following considered mitzvahs, which are off limits on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Don't give something away to Beit HaKabayis, to Beis HaMikdash. V'lo ma'arichin, don't commit to give your value to Beis HaMikdash. V'lo ma'achrimin, it's another form of Hekdash. V'lo ma'achrimin. V'lo ma'akbin, truma ma'aser. Don't separate truma ma'aser. These are mitzvah-related activities, but are asur on Yom Tov or Shabbos. Kol elu b'Yom Tov amru. Chacham applied the discernment to Yom Tov. Kal v'chayim b'Shabbos, and certainly on Shabbos. Because ain b'Yom Tov l'Shabbos. Elo ichal nefesh b'levad. The only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos is that on Yom Tov we're allowed to do malachis which are related to food preparation, but otherwise Shabbos and Yom Tov are created equal. Says Rashi, around halfway down the Amud, Masnisen, Kol Shechayev Olav, Midivrei Seif, Mishlei Yosef, Sebi Shabbos, Mishmei Shavuos. Any activity which the Chacham disallowed on Shabbos on account of Shavuos, or Mishmei Rishus, which means Sheish by Ktsas mitzvah, but mitzvah gedoyla. The karav who leers davah rishus, we refer to it as rishus because it's Ktsas mitzvah. It's closer to a non mitzvah than to a mitzvah. The sheish by isur midivrei seif, which can't be done in the rabban. Oy, mishum mitzvah. Oy sheish by mitzvah mamish. It's a real mitzvah, and still vasru chacham las b'shabbos. Chayav an olav. Shlo yaseis be yom tov. Should not be done on Yom Tov as well. Ve'elu ein dvorim sha'asurim mishum shvus. She'etil olav chacham lishbois mehen. Right? Shvus is lishbois. Ve'ein masiyos mishum mitzvah. Give me an example of things which are non-mitzvah activities that are asur midrabban. Lo'y oilim be'ilan, don't climb a tree. Kulum of fire spirit. Gemara, as the Gemara will explain, amai goz b'rabban, what's the reason for these yisurim? Ein metapchen be'yad, don't clap. Ein mesapken al yorach on your thigh. Ve'ein merakten be'regel v'kulon l'simcha l'shir. As an expression of simcha, ubu gemara farish gzeiro shemisakein kleishir the covered money might be tempted to tune up his instruments to enhance the experience. So it's us. Ve'elain mishum rishus kleima shohiyalanu latirin mishum shein kroven lemitzvah va'asim chachamim. We have examples of things which are slightly related to mitzvah, and perhaps that would justify it being done on Yom Tov. Still chacham applied in Isra. Hi, the Karlu Rishus. Question is, why do we call them Rishus, which sounds like something mundane, a non-mitzvah activity, these things are somewhat mitzvahs. And says Rashi, it's all relative. Relative to a true mitzvah, they're called rishos. On account of the next list in the Mishnah describing true mitzvahs, full-fledged mitzvahs, ulagabayhen, relative to them, karilahanach mitzi rishus, the Mishnah refers to the middle category as rishus. Ulahanach kamay karishvus, the first category, totally non-mitzvah activities, we call shvus. The isur shvus gomer yeshben, they're completely asur. There's no reason to justify them being done on Shabbos. For she'en ban tzad l'salig gzeiros chacham malein she'en ban achluches mitzvah. In the first list, there's no reason, there's absolutely no justification for suspending the Issur d'Rabban, because they're not even a mitzvah at all. No element of mitzvah whatsoever. So when we speak about shvus, totally mundane. Rishus, somewhat mitzvah, and mitzvah, absolutely mitzvah. All three are asur d'Rabban. What's included in the list of rishus? Somewhat mitzvah related, but still also loy dona. Din, you can't make a din tayra. But I'm a kachin isha. The Gemara refers, am I kar the rishus? The Gemara will actually ask, am I kadesh isha? Doing a din tayra, that's a true mitzvah. That's not just related to mitzvah. So why is it rishus? So the Gemara will address that. V'loy makdishin hekdeshes. Marichin means erkecha alai. I'm committing to give your value to Hashem, or my value. V'noivsan v'kvishonim, k'meshul kosev, parashas erchem, which is determined in the parasha of erchem. V'loi machrimen, ha'ri behem azu cherem, that's a way of expression of donating to Hashem, v'stam charamim b'dekabayis. Okay, now the Gemara will address the reasons for these yisurim. What are the concerns here? Says the Gemara, loy oilun b'ilon, a person should not climb a tree on Shabbos or Yontiv, gzera shema yidlosh, she might rip off a branch as he's sitting on the tree. It's close at hand for concern. What's wrong with riding an animal? You might not realize it's going so quickly and it's going to end up out of the tchum. So don't mount an animal on yamtu. Shema mino, apparently, says the Gemara, tchumen d'araisa, this machloik is whether the issue of leaving the boundaries d'araisa, the rabbanon, the fact that we don't allow riding an animal because it might lead to leaving the tchum, in the case that the Isra of Tchum is the Raisa, because otherwise, if leaving the Tchum is only the Rabban, we would never apply another Gzera on top of that, a double-decker Gzera. Is that so? Says more either, actually, let's go away from this concern. That's not the reason for the Isra of riding an animal. Elo Gzera Shama Yachter Chsmur. Concern is if he's riding his animal, he might be inclined to rip off a branch to lead his animal. So keep away from the animal. Don't swim. There's a concern that he might produce some sort of floating device, some sort of woven floating device. Tosfos learns that chavis means literally a barrel. So an empty barrel which he'll use as a flotation device. So that's the concern there. You can't engage in these expressions of simcha. Why? Gzeiro shemi yisakin klei shir, he might be inclined to fix his instrument to enable it for use. Now, actually, there is a Tosis earlier who says that bizman hazeh, we're not concerned, on daf lamed amud aleph, we're not so concerned about this type of isser, because bizman hazeh, we're not so bucky. We're not so proficient, we're not such expert tuners, and there's no gzera that it might lead to fixing a klei shir. Actually, in Shulchan Aruch, both opinions are brought down. The Ramah seeks to explain the minhag ha'olam, who dance, etc., because of this taisus. Well, there's various shitas, various minhagim, some adopt taisus kula, and some don't. Continues the Gemara, Ve'eloi Mishum Rishus Leidon. Give me examples of activities which are somewhat mitzvah related, but still asur. First one being, don't make a din Torah. Now, why is that Rishus? Va mitzvah ka'avid. He's doing a mitzvah to do a din Torah. Leitzrich, apparently, we're speaking the Ikad, the Adaf Minei, there's a Chacham greater than him, ranking higher than himself. So he has no mitzvah to do the din Torah. So technically it's not called a mitzvah, but it is somewhat mitzvah related. And that's why we call it Rishus. V'loy mekach, nor can he be mekadosh isha. And that's called Rishus. What do you mean? V'mitzvah kavod. He's doing a mitzvah, marrying to produce children. It's a mitzvah. Why is it only Rishus? Like Tzricha, apparently we're speaking, the isla isha bon. Yeah, he already has a wife and children. Says Rashi on top. The isla isha bonim. How many children? Shnei Yischarim v'shamay. Oy zechon nekevel v'sil. Right, there's machlekes. Between Shammai, you say two, Zecharim is considered fulfillment of mitzvah of Puruvu, going to be a Sila, Zecharim, a Kevah, that's how we paskin. So he already has that, he's passed that. Vesulei Mifkat Kuliyai, he doesn't have that great mitzvah any longer, of Puruvu, Kedamina Bivamas, but it's still somewhat mitzvah related. Why a mitzvah? Umiyog Tsas Mitzvah Ikad is somewhat of a mitzvah to have more. Kedamar Beiker Zerazaracha, Ulerabatanach Yedecha, and that's what we call it Rishus. It's loosely mitzvah related. Continues the Gemara. Lo yicholtzim le miyab, nor can he do chalitza or yibim on yamtiv. And again, we call it rishus. Why? A mitzvah kavod. He's doing a full-fledged mitzvah. Why is it called rishus? Lo yitzricha dikad gadol. Apparently, there's a brother older than him, u mitzvah begadol yabim. And ideally, the older brother should do the yibim or chalitza. So although he's stepping forward and taking the initiative, but it's not the mitzvah in its ideal form, and that's why the Mishnah relates to it as rishus. Now, we have a long list of things, din Torah, kiddushin, chalitza, and yibam, which are rishus and asr. Why? What's wrong? V'kulam v'taim amai, what's the concern about doing these things on Yom Tov, gzeiro shama yichtav? The concern is you might be inclined to record a document as a result of this proceeding, the psak din, a document to document the kiddushin, shtar chalitza, and a ksuba for the Yavama, which of course is also to do on Yom Tov. That's why I keep away from these activities to avoid any chashash melacha. Alright, so what do we learn today? The Gemara sought to compare our halacha, stated in the Mishnah, regarding mashilim peiros derech aruba b'Yom Tov, tossing down the peiros through the skylight to protect from the oncoming rain. We compare that to a slightly related halacha in Masechet Shabbos, who is clearing out the oitzer on account of the oncoming guests, or the bittul beis hamedrash to allow the talmidim to come learn. We find some similarities, and we do find some restrictions stated by one, not by the other. Gemara sought to explore whether we can compare one to the other, and we left it off with a teiku. Now, according to Ula, one can cover anything on Shabbos or Yom Tov to protect from rain, despite the fact that it's muktzah, because you can be metatl, a non-muktzah item, to protect a muktzah item. No concern there. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, you cannot do that. We had a braisa discussing protecting a beehive. Well, the Gemara says, perhaps we're speaking that it's not really muktzah, there's some honey in there. Whether it's throughout the winter, and we have those two honeycombs which were reserved for personal use, and they're not muktzah, or perhaps the braisa is speaking throughout the year, spring, summer, fall, where you have plenty of honey. We learned about the halacha of graf shalrei, so something which is moist can be cleared out, can be emptied out, and even if it involves direct contact. Concluded the Mishnah that all the isurei derabbanan, which are called shvus, which apply on Shabbos, will apply on Yom Tov. The only difference is melacha is for eichel nefesh, which is mutar on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos, and the halach of Shavuos would apply equally to mundane or Rishus, which is slightly mitzvah related, or even to some mitzvah activities to ensure avoidance of malacha on Shabbos or Yom Tov. All the best to you and much, much hatzlacha.